The markets. We just can't get enough of them.
Markets are the drivers of your wealth and investment strategy.
Welcome to Magic Markets with your co-hosts, the Finance Ghost and Mohammed Nallah.
Together, we have more than 25 years of combined experience in the markets.
Having processed more than 22 billion rand on behalf of clients since inception, Future Forex has recently been approved as one of South Africa's first CASPs, crypto asset service providers, giving further legitimacy to their exceptional track record in crypto arbitrage investment. Harry Scherzer returns to Magic Markets to discuss the arbitrage and why he believes every South African individual should strongly consider this low-risk, high-return opportunity. Future Forex SA Pty Limited is a registered financial services provider, FSP number 51884. And remember to always do your own research when considering any financial product. Welcome to episode 170 of Magic Markets. It's going to be a great show. We are welcoming back someone who is a familiar voice to you if you've been listening to Magic Markets for quite a long time. And of course, we hope you have been. So if you recognize Harry from Future Forex, then good for you. It means you've been listening to Magic Markets for quite some time now. You'll certainly recognize Mo's voice, even if you've only been listening to us since last week when we did Accenture and FactSet, which was a pretty cool show. Today, we depart from that to talk about crypto, but don't worry, we won't be recommending Dogecoin or goodness knows what else. We'll be talking about crypto arbitrage and some other cool stuff. Before we say hello to Harry, Mo, thank you for joining me as always, all the way from Canada.
Yeah, Ghost, always a pleasure doing this with you. Excited to have Harry on the show. And I mean, crypto is something that, you know, we shouldn't shy away from. You know, it's very topical. It's out there. We've discussed crypto arbitrage on the show. We've educated our listeners through the times where, you know, it was something new, then, you know, outlining the value case of that. And this is very much going to be, I guess, an update on that. But also, I guess, a little bit of a discussion around what's been happening in the crypto markets. You know, what are the moving parts? It's been so busy. And with markets as busy as they are, I mean, Ghost, you and I always tend to look at listed stocks all the time. Cryptos may be a little bit of a blind spot, and that's why it's always great to have an expert in that space come and speak to us. So, Harry, welcome back to Magic Markets. We hope you're as excited as us to be back on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mo. Great to chat to you and Ghost again on what I will consider one of, if not my favorite podcast. So, really happy to be back.
Thanks, Harry. Kind words. We're not paying him to say that, I promise, even though it sounds like we might be. So Harry, before we dive into crypto, and of course, crypto arbitrage is all about looking for ways to take advantage of discrepancies between prices in one market and another. You've kind of done that with your life for the past, what, year, 2 years? You've kind of traveled all over to see if you want to live anywhere else and you've settled on Cape Town. So is that a new arbitrage product that you're planning to launch where you just tour with people around the world and realize that Cape Town's a cool spot? Or is that something completely different?
Ghost, what happened was I would have to go abroad for a number of work reasons and thought, okay, well, if I'm in Europe or if I'm in America, I may as well stay here for a bit to check out the lifestyle and see that if South Africa does what a lot feared might do, if there's a place that's better to live in. And I'm proud to say that Cape Town really is, for me, the number one destination for me to live in and for a lot of people, I'd imagine, because life abroad is tough. I mean, let alone the weather and the cost of living. It's just there's a familiarity about South Africa and Cape Town in particular, which I wouldn't be able to say goodbye to, quite frankly.
Look at Mo smiling or grimacing like a man who pays for his McDonald's in dollars. That is the face of a man who has seen pain at the McDonald's drive-thru.
Luckily not McDonald's. No halal McDonald's here in Canada.
So no halal McDonald's, happily, really?
No halal McDonald's. Yeah, can you believe that? We do have halal Nando's. And interestingly, down the road from me, I know now we're shooting the breeze a little bit, but Halal Galitos. Galitos is a brand I know you might be familiar with in South Africa. It is a South African brand. They're actually better than Nando's up here. So, you know, that's what I go and grimace and spend my overpriced chicken burger money on.
No halal McDonald's. There we go. Well, that's enough. Enough worldliness. I've definitely learned something today, Mo. I've known you for so long and I had no idea that there's no halal McDonald's there. Maybe that's the business you need to open. Let's go and speak to the guys at McDonald's and see if you can get halal McDonald's off the ground in Canada. Harry, you don't need any business ideas because you've got one that you've been busy with for a while now. And I think executing to a high level, I've got to say, I was playing golf the other day or trying to at Hasendal down in Cape Town. And the guy who joined us, you know, he was kind of just allocated to the same tee slot as us. You know, within the first couple of holes, he was kind of asking about, you know, what do we do, et cetera, et cetera. And I always give a bit of a coy answer. And then he, of course, hit me with, oh, have you heard of crypto arbitrage? And I thought to myself, okay, this is interesting. And I just had to ask him, who do you do it with? And he said to me, no, Future Forex. And I said, oh, yeah, no, I know the guys. Are they good? He's like, oh, they're great. I can't believe you know them. Blah, 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 blah. So Harry, there's some real world from the golf course feedback from what was a very happy client of yours. I mean, for all I know, you might be listening to the show, which would be even more funny. But there we have it. You know, there's nothing says more about your business, I think, than happy clients. And happy clients obviously come with track record, which is something you've got. So I think to kick off, just opening the floor to you, you know, you haven't been on the show in a while, so I think there's a good chance that a lot of people listening to this aren't familiar with you. Just in terms of who you guys are, what you do, and maybe just touching on what crypto arbitrage actually is.
Yeah, thanks, Ghost. So we've been around for 4.5 years now, performing crypto arbitrage for clients who are individuals that have to be South African individuals. So effectively, what crypto arbitrage is it's the process of buying cryptocurrency abroad, sending it to South Africa, and selling it in South Africa at a profit. And this is possible because there's almost what I consider a fundamental price difference between the price of crypto in South Africa and abroad. At the moment, it's sitting at around 3%. It tends to have equalized at around the 2 to 3% mark. In other words, the same amount of crypto in South Africa costs 2 to 3% more than it does abroad. So what we do for clients is we take their rands, we send it offshore using the banks. We buy cryptocurrency offshore. We send that cryptocurrency back to South Africa and we sell it in South Africa at a profit. And we do that over and over again in a cyclical manner to make excess returns for clients. So it's really great to hear that you've got a real life example of someone that's done this and has enjoyed this process. I've bumped into a few as well, people who didn't know what I did and mentioned Future Forex out the blue. And it's always really great to hear because I tend to also keep a bit coy on the fact that I have anything to do with Future Forex. And I hear often raving about how great the returns are and how great the product is, which is really awesome to then sort of say, yeah, I actually am the co-founder of the company. And so it's quite an exciting situation to be in.
Yeah, Harry, I mean, that crypto arbitrage story, again, it's something that's so interesting. And I mean, it's great that it's found a use case out there, that you're getting the recognition out there on the golf course. But, you know, a question for me, just on fundamental kind of market dynamics, is that usually an arbitrage closes. So I want to actually ask that question is that, you know, maybe give us, you've given us a bit of an overview on what that arbitrage is. It's 3-4%. We know it bounces around, but why is that not closing first and foremost? And then second of all, why is the concept of crypto arbitrage fundamentally different, I guess, to just naked crypto exposure? Because I think the last time we spoke to you, Bitcoin was around 40,000. It's now around 70,000. And that tends to put a lot of people off. They get very scared by that kind of volatility. Why is what we're discussing today fundamentally different? But also, why does that arbitrage just not close?
Yeah, Mo, let me start with the first part around why does this not close? And what it comes down to is the same reason that you can't become a millionaire by doing crypto arbitrage, which is that it's limited in how much you can do it. What I mean by that is that you have to use your foreign exchange limits in order to exercise crypto arbitrage. You have 1 million rand SDA, single discretionary allowance, and another 10 million rand FIA, which is now called an AIT, approval for international transfer, in order to do arbitrage. You can't do it outside of that 11 million rand, which means that if you make 1 to 2% on it, you're making, call it 100 or 200,000 rand a year from crypto arbitrage. Now, bear in mind that if you don't do crypto arbitrage and you're left with allowance, that allowance expires worthless anyway at the end of the year. And so the next year you get 11 million rand again. So what I argue is that every investor should be utilizing their allowances either by buying offshore stocks or something else with it, but anything they're not using it on should be used on crypto arbitrage. Because of this limited nature, the supply in South Africa of crypto is limited. And as a result, it costs more in South Africa. There's more demand than there is supply within South Africa for crypto. And it's a way of almost getting out of rands without using your allowance is to purchase crypto. And so because of that, there is this natural arbitrage, which I don't think will close because it's so difficult to bring money in. It's what we effectively are doing, but it requires sending your money offshore. It requires approvals, which we do as a complimentary service, et cetera, et cetera. To touch on your second question, which is around the risks. So typically, with crypto, as you say, they're enormous market risks, not only the risk of crypto fluctuating, but the risk of Forex fluctuating as well. You send your rands into dollars, then you have to wait for the dollars to arrive before you can buy crypto. But what Future Forex does is we enter into forward contracts in order to mitigate that risk and to ensure that there's zero market risk. So in other words, we're almost hedging it. We're buying at the exact same time as we're selling. We're buying abroad at the exact same time as we're selling in South Africa. And so any crypto movement or any rand dollar movement of any form doesn't affect our clients whatsoever. Now, that's not to say that there's zero risk. That's not a fair thing to say. There, of course, is always risk in any investment you do. And in the crypto arbitrage space, that risk is in the form of a third-party risk. So in other words, it would be an offshore provider not sticking to what they're supposed to do and defaulting. It would be something like a local bank not sending the money for whatever reason. And if that were to happen, there would be a risk. However, of course, this has never happened before. And I think one of the reasons this has never happened to us before is because of our strong due diligence we perform on all our third parties.
I think, Harry, when you were with us previously, one of the concepts we kind of talked about which resonated was basically every South African individual has this kind of embedded asset that few take advantage of every year, which is this allowance, basically. You know, the 1 million easy and the 10 million harder. So what I wanted to ask you is, you know, obviously you facilitate a lot of it for clients in terms of the admin and everything else. Is, are you seeing any trends in how difficult or easy getting the extra 10 million is? Is there an attempted clampdown? I mean, we all know that SARS has gotten a lot more militant in the last few years, and there's nothing wrong with this at all from a tax perspective. It's just an example of where they can put more pressure. They can make it harder for you to get this right, to try and, you know, shake the tree and see if there's any tax they can make along the way. Any trends like that that you've seen for clients?
Yeah, so there has been a major change in the AIT procedure, the 10 million rand. It used to be called an FIA. It's now an AIT. And the big change is that the forms are completely different. They're a little bit more difficult, and they require you to very visibly display your offshore assets. That's the big difference. So they've always asked you to show your local assets, but now they very explicitly say, what are your foreign assets as well? Luckily, Future Forex has a team to ensure that these are displayed correctly and in the right way as SARS require them, to reduce the amount of time it takes for SARS to approve these. So we've already perfected this. But initially, of course, it was a big system change that we needed to get this right. We're at the point where it is right, so it's no more difficult for us. If anything, it's actually easier now that we understand exactly what SARS want.
So, I mean, that's really a procedural change. It's more administrative. It's not really a change that should impact the economics of the arbitrage, the economics of the trade, the closing of the arbitrage that we've just touched on. What does this mean in terms of your expectations? Because, I mean, you've got a track record for your arbitrage investors. We've discussed this previously on the show, but I want us to rehash that because I know that the arbitrage is not static. It's not always at 4%. It's sometimes at 1%. When do you execute? When do you not execute? And what are your expectations longer term in terms of the sustainability and where that spread kind of settles?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mo. In fact, it's the $1 million question. When is this going to die, if it's going to die at all? And the first thing that needs to be noted in this regard is that Future Forex has recently acquired, we're very proud to have become one of the first CASPs in South Africa, which is a crypto asset service provider. We're also an FSP, of course, but now we've got an FSP license and a CASP license, a Category 2 CASP license, which is awesome. It's regulated by the FSCA, and it's basically the FSCA saying, Future Forex, we know what you're doing, we're comfortable with it, and we understand the process and are happy to award you this because you're doing things within the realms of the law. And I think this is a big, big point in ensuring that we are going to be around for a longer period of time, because the government, instead of saying, oh, we're not sure about what you're doing, we'll allow you to do it for the time being, they're giving us the all clear and saying, not only do we know what you're doing, we are happy with what you're doing. We will give you a CASP license after we detailed exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it. And so in terms of sustainability, there's been a big bump recently to suggest that it might be longer than we thought previously. In terms of how wide that spread is, you asked, you said sometimes it's 1%, sometimes it's 4%, you're 100% right. And what it tends to link to more than anything is rand strength, meaning the stronger the rand gets, the wider that spread tends to get. And so what we do is we tend to trade in such a way that as the rand weakens, the spread tends to go down and we tend to slow down our trading. And then we catch those rand spikes for clients and ensure that we can optimize their returns over the year and ultimately over their investment.
So Harry, you've already answered one of the questions, which was the sort of recent trend in crypto regulation and how you guys have reacted to that. And I think it speaks to how long you've been at this for. And I think for government, it's something we've talked about when you were previously on the show, which I think is still absolutely pertinent, especially at a time when SARS is looking for revenue everywhere they can, is this is allowing South Africans to make a profit off their foreign allowance that SARS can tax. I mean, that's the thing. That's part of what makes this sustainable. And obviously, it's very important for people to realize there is no free lunch here per se. Yes, it's an arbitrage. You have to pay tax on it. you know, like any other income. That's really part of why this is sustainable, right? Is we're actually bringing money into the fiscus by doing this and then taxing it accordingly, which certainly encourages SARs to not make life too difficult for crypto arbitrage, but actually be shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, Ghost, that's 100% right. We provide IRP5s for each of our clients to pay income tax on anything they earn. And as you've mentioned, as a result of that, SARs is making more money. There's more money in the fiscus. And this is one of the reasons that instead of shutting down the arbitrage or doing anything silly like that, they've regulated it. They've said, let's kick out the bad players and keep the good players in. We welcome regulation and we were delighted by the CASP licensing.
Yeah, Harry, now that you're back in South Africa, you'll be well aware that everything is full of election posters. Every street poll, save South Africa. Crypto arbitrage is the hero that we didn't know we had or needed, I think. Actually saving South Africa and bringing some tax revenue back in and fixing load shedding and everything else it is that you do. No, I'm just kidding, obviously. But, you know, to start to bring the show to a close, and it's so nice to just catch up with you and find out that this is still ongoing and everything's working. And as you kind of hoped it would, and you know, I never really had any doubt, to be honest. I think the way you guys built the business was always very sustainable. You've always done things properly. And I would certainly encourage people to go back and listen to one or two of the other shows we've done with you, where you talk in a lot more detail about some of the mechanics behind it. And maybe that's actually a good place to kind of end off is, you know, your commitment to not just compliance, but investor protection. So while they're making these arbitrage returns, while they're basically making, I want to call it free money, but it's not miles off from free money, let's be honest. You know, how are you protecting clients from anything going wrong? You know, if Bitcoin crashes 20%, does that make a difference? What can actually go wrong here and what steps do you take to protect your investors?
Yeah, Ghost, it's a great question. I think my background as an actuary has led me to think about risks before return. The returns are fantastic. They speak for themselves, but I don't actually like focusing on that. What I like to focus on is how to mitigate risk as far as possible. And as you've discussed, if Bitcoin goes down 20%, our investors are completely protected from that in that they're fully hedged, or trades are fully market risk hedged. The only risk that is still on the table is the risk of counterparty failure, defaulting of a counterparty. And that's why we put a lot of time, effort, resources into ensuring we're working only with the best counterparties so that the probability of failure is minimized to as close to zero as possible. And that's why in our around 80,000, I believe, trades that we've done, we've not had a single trade not arrive, not had a single trade not be profitable. We've got 100% profitability to clients on every single trade. And we'd like to keep this going. And if anything happens such that we feel the risk has been increased from a third party point of view, we'll be very quick to stop proceedings until we've investigated that risk and made sure that risk is as low as is humanly possible.
I think that's such a critical point, right, Harry? Because I think we were offline a while ago when FTX hit the wall. And I remember I picked up the phone, we chatted a little bit and we were like, does Future Forex have any exposure to FTX? But it's such an important point simply because in these kinds of markets that are not listed markets, they're still pretty much OTC, if you want to use a conventional term there. Your counterparty risk is almost your entire risk to the process. So I'm glad you highlighted that. I don't know if maybe I'm being cheeky here, but are you at liberty to share who some of your counterparties are internationally? I mean, does that give some of your investors comfort in knowing, you know, who are the parties to this entire value chain?
Yeah, absolutely, Mo. So I'm happy to share a few big names. I can't share all because of NDAs, but the ones that I can share off the bat is that we work with Royal Bank of Scotland in Europe. We work with a local exchange called Valour, who are the biggest and most reputable exchange in South Africa, amongst others. But in terms of who we work with, as I said, not only do we do high due diligence on each player, we also mitigate the risk such that we stagger settlements and do things like that to ensure that if something were to go wrong, our clients wouldn't be at risk as far as possible and Future Forex would be able to cover it if it's a minor breach or something like that, which, to be clear, has never happened before and we don't expect to ever happen.
So to be clear, Harry, as we bring the show to a close and just to make sure people understand the opportunity here, every year you've got sort of 11 million rand that you can basically swing through this, assuming you don't take any other money overseas that year. And that's obviously personal circumstances. You can make a couple of hundred basis points on that in all likelihood on average. So you can kind of take that 11 million rand times about, 2%, I would guess, maybe on average spread. It's not going to be exactly that, but it's not going to be miles and miles off. So a couple of 100,000 rand that you could technically make basically every year by using a crypto arbitrage through the likes of a future Forex, which of course is really interesting. And for a lot of people is an opportunity. It's difficult to call it an asset class or an investment because it's actually neither of those things. It's basically a transaction. It's a trade that is made available by these discrepancies in the markets. And I think final question from my side is, what is the realistic minimum amount that someone needs to have available to them to actually get going? I mean, I would imagine it's not easy to swing 10,000 Rand at a time. That's probably not profitable. So what is the sort of realistic minimum that you need?
Guys, just to touch on what you mentioned prior to the question, that's exactly it. Everyone has, as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, everyone has an 11 million Rand allowance. That doesn't mean you need 11 million Rand of cash. It means you could have 200,000 Rand of cash and cycle it 55 times to make 11 million. Everyone has this asset every single year, and most South Africans allow it to expire worthless. And all we're trying to do as Future Forex is say we can monetize this asset and get you returns far above traditional investments by doing so. In order to work with us, our minimum investment amount is 200,000 Rand. So you're welcome to put in more than that. We take a minimum of 200,000 Rand and we swing it as many times as we can before the end of the year. I'd argue that putting in a little bit more than that is likely to be more profitable, as you'll be able to more easily get through your 11 million Rand, and also the fixed costs reduce. For example, there's a 500 Rand fee on sending money out of South Africa. 500 Rand on 200,000 Rand is a lot higher as a percentage than 500 Rand on 500,000 Rand. And maybe to correct the expectations of how much you can make, my guess is between 100 and 200,000 Rand loosely is what you can make off this. So if you put in 200,000 Rand and make the lower end 100,000 Rand on that, I mean, that's a 50% return, which is a remarkable return in percentage terms, albeit capped in absolute value.
Yeah, I can only dream of a life in which a tax-free savings account can be put through crypto arbitrage, but somehow I don't think that's going to happen, but we can only dream. I think, Harry, it's been super nice to catch up with you and to just see how well the business is going, how well you guys are doing. I think a lot of Magic Markets listeners, when you first came on the show, actually signed up with you and have been doing the crypto arbitrage for a while. And I can hand on heart say we've never received a single email of concern, not a single negative thing, absolutely zilch. It's only been positive feedback. So, you know, that for me is a feather in your guys' cap. So well done. And I think in closing, maybe just for listeners who are keen, how do they contact you? How do they find out more?
Yeah, firstly, to say thanks to you, Ghost, to Mo, and to the listeners that trusted us early on. I know we got a big intake from this show initially, and I just want to say thank you to all of you, and I'm glad we could help you profit as much as you have, and I'm hoping you're all still with us, so that's awesome to see, and really, really glad we could make an impact. In terms of how new people can get on board, you can visit futureforex.co.za, click the arbitrage tab and register from there. You can also get in touch and one of our sales consultants will be in touch with you to explain any further questions you might have.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Harry, thanks so much for being on the show. I mean, that's really been quite informative. Again, to our listeners, go out there, do your own due diligence. This is not advice. Obviously, everyone's financial circumstances are unique to you. So go out there, do your homework. We can tell you that the Future Forex team are very approachable and they will be very happy to answer your questions. You know where to find them. We hope you've enjoyed this show. And Harry, I want to bring you back on the show to discuss all the other exciting stuff that's happening at Future Forex, maybe even in the world of crypto. But specifically, let's maybe touch on the Forex stuff the next time we have you on here. Looking forward to it. Until next week, same time, same place. To our listeners, you'll find us on X. It's at Magic Markets Pod. One word, at Finance Ghost and at Mohammed Nalla. Pop us a note and we'll see you then.
Cheers.
Ciao.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not financial or investment advice. Please speak to your personal financial advisor.